drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Talking golf with you every single Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan. Don't forget, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also on YouTube, and take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. I'm in the old National Bank Studios. Mike is at our great presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club, today for a CDGA outing. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Tyler, good morning. Good morning, everybody in Chicago. We're here at the most beautiful view I have is on the first tee at Glenview Park Golf Club. And in fact, Tyler, if I look over my right shoulder, I can see your parents' house. We have one heck of a location here. Ron Cassidy and his crew have rolled out the red carpet for us. And I have to tell you, this is one of the greenest golf courses that I have seen in our district over the last 2 weeks, because I'm seeing a lot of blonde rough out there,
yes.
But here, Todd Vermillion and the crew here have done a dynamite job. The conditioning up here is second to none. So it's been fun. The crews are teeing off literally over my back left shoulder, and we're having a great time out here. Wish you were here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because I'd imagine this year has been quite a challenge for a lot of these groundskeepers at a lot of these courses, because of the fact that we haven't gotten any rain, and it looks like we may get a little bit tomorrow, which I know a lot of these people are certainly rooting for, that maintain a lot of these great courses across the state. But as golfers, hey, that just axes a day out of the week that we can't golf. And it's not just that, but it's axing a weekend day right there as well. All right, Mike, let's get into the big news of the week. And that is Wyndham Clark is your U.S. Open champion. And it was quite the performance by Wyndham down the stretch. Maybe a guy that not a lot of people knew who he was leading into that final stretch. But he certainly put on a great performance on that Sunday. Holds off Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Cam Smith. Tommy Fleetwood made a nice little Sunday charge as well. Ultimately wasn't enough. And maybe the other story of the tournament is just the collapse that we saw out of Ricky Fowler. He shoots 5 over on that Sunday round after being so rock solid across the first 3 rounds. But Wyndham Clark, your U.S. Open champion, and I really think this is great for golf, seeing Wyndham Clark win it in the way that he did, because of the fact that the leaderboard was so great, so you still had the intrigue and the want to get to the television because all these big names were there, but golf got to crown a new star with Wyndham Clark ultimately coming away with his first major.
No doubt, Wyndham Clark is a champion and deserved to win. He went out and won that. That was not given to him by any stretch of the imagination. His short game on that back nine is what really made him the champion that he is celebrating this week. And to your point, not a lot of people knew who Wyndham Clark was. Yeah, he had the win down in North Carolina at one of the designated events, and I think that win propelled his confidence in a fashion that allowed him to compete on the highest of stages. And I think he was able to prove to himself that he belongs on the leaderboard at a U.S. Open and that he belongs winning it. And I know he's had quite a journey with some mental coaching, which I think has obviously paid off. But you're right. Not a lot of people knew who Wyndham Clark was before the week started. And in fact, in our fantasy CDGA Fantasy Golf, we had almost 4,000 participants playing, and if I'm not mistaken, under 150 picked
wow.
them. So that's a small percentage when you consider it. So to your point, not a lot of people knew of him before the week, but they certainly do now.
You look at how he's done in majors as well. I mean, 2020, cut from the PGAs. That's the only major he participated in. 2021, ties for 75th at the PGAs, cut at the U.S. Open. 2022, cut from the U.S. Open, ties for 76th in the Open. 2023, he's cut from the PGA Championship, and then out of nowhere, ends up winning the whole thing at the U.S. Open this year at L.A. Country Club. It really is. Wyndham Clark feels like one of those guys. You see him on your television here and there, but you never really think he's a true threat to win. But if you talk and hear from a lot of the guys on the tour, they know that this is a guy that's certainly on the rise within the sport. He's 29 years old, so still has a few really strong years left ahead of him. But this is a guy who'd never really made any sort of mark on a major stage. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he comes away as a U.S. Open champion and takes down a really, really impressive leaderboard to close out that tournament. And I look at Wyndham Clark and I think this is a good thing for golf. If he starts to kind of establish himself as a new star within the confines of the sport, that would be a really, really good thing for golf there, because you've got him while you also still have a number of other stars right now in your sport.
In 100%, Tyler, and you know, Wyndham could be one of those guys. He reminds me of a Lee Jansen. Here's a guy that didn't win a lot on tour, but he won two U.S. Opens. Andy North won two U.S. Opens. These guys were built for major championships, and I think Wyndham, again, going back to that win about a month ago down in North Carolina, winning the designated event, it just did wonders for his confidence, and I think he's the kind of player that plays well on difficult golf courses. I don't know that you'll see Wyndham Clark winning an event at 26 under par when they have those birdie shootouts on tour, but when you get into the major championships, this guy is somebody to, you know, be on the lookout for. And his story on how he got here is pretty impressive. You know, much was said during the telecast about his mom introducing him to the game, and then she passed away in 2012, and he kind of lost his journey. He almost quit the game,
right,
and he returned to the game and came back in a way that obviously we saw it all unfold on Sunday. But I thought the class act of the entire week was what Rory did on 18. Rory walked up to him and whispered in his ear that your mom was with you, and if she were here, she would be very proud of you. And when I heard that, I had tears in my eyes for the guy. So this guy has battled a lot, has overcome a lot, and I think this is a guy who could do a lot of damage for the United States Ryder Cup team and help, you know, secure the thing when they go over to Rome. Everybody's looking at Wyndham Clark now in a whole different light, all because of what happened at the U.S. Open.
312-332-3776 if you want to join us, talk some U.S. Open here. By the way, this segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Yeah, you bring up the story there about him nearly quitting the game, and that right there just kind of shows just how far he's come, and a lot was made of his college career as well, him being an Oklahoma State guy and him being teammates with some of these top guys on the tour right now. And I just look at kind of where he goes from here. And you bring up the Ryder Cup there. I think, yeah, you look at some of these guys that have won majors and you look on the U.S. side, the United States has a really strong chance to go out and win this thing this year, especially when you put the live aspect into this formula as well, where these live guys aren't going to be eligible to compete out in Rome. Like, if you're Zach Johnson, the captain of this whole thing, like, yes, I do think Wyndham Clark needs to be given a strong look this year, because there's a number of guys that have a really good resume, but it's kind of who's playing as well as they are right now. And when you look at someone like Wyndham Clark, even though he doesn't have a ton of major experience and a ton of major success, he did go out and hold off a really strong leaderboard down the stretch there to ultimately come away victorious. If you're Zach Johnson, I think you have to give him a really strong look heading into this fall.
Yeah, I think Wyndham's going to be a player to keep an eye on for the rest of the summer, especially, you know, as it relates to the upcoming British Open, to see how his game transfers over to the look of a British Open. But then we hopefully are going to get a chance to see him in Chicago in August at the BMW. Now he's going to have to earn his way to get to Olympia Fields. But given where he's at, I expect us to get a, you know, an up close and personal view for anyone who's planning on attending Olympia Fields.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of Olympia Fields, we will talk with Vince Pellegrino of the Western Golf Association a little bit later on about the BMWs, about the NV5 as well. So we will do all that. And we'll talk with Ron Cassidy as well from the Glenview Park Golf Club. Looking forward to those conversations a little bit later on today. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. Yeah, you look at where Wyndham is right now at the Travelers. He is currently in a tie for 41st, in a large cluster of golfers there, about 15 guys all sort of bottled up there. Coincidentally, Ricky Fowler in that cluster as well. When you're watching Ricky and everything that sort of unfolded on Sunday, you know, it's really tough to watch a guy like him go through that. Someone who has never really broken through at a major. He's had some of these backdoor top tens, and he had the great run in 2014 where he was all across the leaderboards. But this kind of felt like Ricky's best chance to win in almost a decade. And to see it fall apart the way that it did on Sunday when he does go five over and ultimately finishes in a tie for fifth, it was really tough to watch with Ricky and kind of see him pretty much out of the picture by the time he got to, what, the fifth, sixth hole? It really felt like Ricky was out of contention at that point.
Certainly did, and it was tough to watch. I think a lot of us, well, were pulling for him because, for the obvious reason, to get his first major. And he was obviously a fan favorite as we started the day, but was just not able to put the game out there that he was hoping for on Sunday. But the good news is about Ricky is he's playing good golf now. He can get back into the hunt, and he now knows that. So I look for Ricky to continue to do good things. You know, Butch Harmon was working with him. He's got a different type of swing and a different angle of approach to the ball now that has done some wonderful things for his game. I just think it's going to be a matter of time before we see Ricky get in the winner's circle in a major, and it may not be this year, but at least we're seeing the Ricky Fowler of old starting to reemerge.
Yeah, so at 34 years old now, like the clock is certainly ticking. You don't see a lot of guys win that first major after the age of 30. He's sitting at 34 right now, but you think you will still see a Ricky major at some point, huh, Mike?
I do, because, you know, in this day and age, they say you hit your peak at 34 out on the PGA Tour, especially as it relates to majors. So I'd like to believe he's up at the crest of that, and I still think he's got a solid 3-4, maybe even 5 more years of really being competitive. The kid is in unbelievable shape, and the way he swings at it, you know, he's got to maintain that athleticism, and I don't think that's going to be a problem for him as he hangs out with, you know, JT and, you know, some of these guys out there that we watched on, you know, the Netflix series Full Swing. Mm-hmm. So they hold each other accountable. So I look at these guys, Jordan Spieth and JT and Ricky, all at the point where they still have an unbelievable chance to still secure a few majors in their career through the mid to latter part of their 30s.
Yeah, I look at what kind of the road ahead is for Ricky. I mean, absolutely heartbreaking there, but you're right. Like, he got working with Butch Harmon, and things sort of changed right there, everything for Ricky, and it seems like he is playing some of his best golf here moving forward. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us here talking some U.S. Open. We talked about the heartbreak for Ricky Fowler, but was the heartbreak actually a little bit steeper for someone else? We'll tell you who that is when we come back. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. We're talking a lot of U.S. Open. A little bit of Ricky Fowler as he had quite the downturn on that Sunday. Not the Ricky that we had seen the prior three rounds, but it was a struggle for Ricky. Five over on that Sunday, and he's been a guy that a lot of people were pulling for on that Sunday. A lot of people wanted to see Ricky finally break through. Was not the case. 312-332-3776. You want to join us here? Vic's on the north side. What's up, Vic?
Yeah, I think Ricky's got to continue to keep on wearing those bright colors in his attire. I said he stopped wearing the orange a while ago, and he's wearing blue and you know, neutral colors. He's not as flashy, and he's not as flamboyant. He needs to keep that orange and that flamboyancy, and I think he's going to be just fine.
Well, appreciate the phone call there. I don't know if, well, I mean, he had some pretty vibrant outfits throughout the U.S. Open. I mean, you, what was it, the Friday round? He had like the floral shirt that he was rocking out there. Listen, Ricky's got a trademark, right? It's the, he's always going to have that orange on. And I look at what he brings to the table, Mike, and like, this was a guy who I think a lot of people thought was going to go to LIV Golf. I mean, he seemed like the perfect candidate for that. Ultimately never happened. Looks like ultimately never will happen. But he was someone that was looking to fix his game a little bit, and things just weren't breaking his way. And you thought, maybe he'll jump for the payday, because I'm sure he was offered it. I haven't seen a number or anything on Ricky, but I'd imagine there was an offer that was sent in for the likes of a Ricky Fowler. And he ultimately chose to stay with the tour. And I think that in hindsight now, I'm sure he's thankful he's staying with the tour.
No doubt. He, you know, he did rock some orange on Sunday. It may not have been all orange a la Gary Player in the All Black, but orange will always be his trademark. But I think as part of some of the changes that he's making, you know, may, you know, relate back to his apparel contract and all the rest of it. But Ricky's going to be, he's going to be just fine. And, you know, I think when you play good golf and you dress appropriately and you play good golf, I think Ricky's always going to have a certain flamboyant style to him. Now, whether it's through a floral pattern or a specific color, but at the end of the day, he still has to get the ball in the hole, whether he's wearing overalls or a Puma orange shirt.
Right. And ultimately, like, that's kind of going to be how his legacy is defined, is can he eventually break through and win a major. Now, all right, someone else who had a frustrating Sunday, not a plus five level frustration, but still a Sunday where I think he would like to have a few shots back, and that is Rory McIlroy. He ends up shooting even on that last day, but he was in the thick of things the entire time, finishes second once again, and Rory was asked on Sunday after his round, is it exhausting answering about heartbreak all the time?
It is, but at the same time, you know, when I do finally win this next major, it's going to be really, really sweet. So, you know, I would go through 100 Sundays like this to get my hands on another major championship.
So you hear that right there. And listen, the golf that Rory has played over the last year and a half now, when you look at his status in majors, aside from the Masters this year, he has finished eighth or better in every single major dating back to the start of the 2022 season with the Masters there, where he finished second. But he's got a pair of runner-ups, a third place, a tie for fifth at last year's U.S. Open, a tie for seventh at this year's PGA Championship, and an eighth place finish at last year's PGA Championship. He has been right around it the entire time, but he just can't seem to close things out on Sunday. And with Rory, I don't think the question is, will he ever win another major? When you're this close, like, it's not a blind squirrel eventually finds the nut, right? But, like, he's so close, so close. And he hasn't won a major since 2014, which really feels hard to believe with how many top 10s, top 5s he's had over the last decade. But with Rory, you can still sense the confidence in him with that answer, using whens and not ifs, talking about when he gets his next major. I certainly think we will see Rory go out there and win another major. And I wonder if now that this LIV and PGA Tour stuff has sort of smoothed over a little bit, if that's going to take a lot of pressure off of him and that'll ultimately allow him to break through.
Agreed. I think it will. And in fact, I think the best thing that can happen to Rory is exactly what is starting to happen. And if all goes right in Washington on July 11th, when Monahan and his team go to Washington, you know, I think the whole anger and divided tour, I can actually feel fences being mended. And particularly with Rory, he and Sergio have made up. And what I didn't realize is that they stood up in each other's weddings. And so now they were at odds with each other over this thing. But the mere fact that they've come together and they use the U.S. Open as an opportunity to mend that fence showed how well Sergio ended up playing. But again, I think that freed up Rory's mind. You know, when you have a clear mind, a clear conscience, and, you know, all you have to focus on is you putting the best swing possible on every shot, it makes things a lot more simple. And for these guys, simple is good. You know, complicated is bad. So Rory, I think, is getting back to the basics. He wants life to return to the way it was, you know, in the golf ecosystem. Now, it's ever-changing, but at least for the first time, there seems to be hope, and hope that things are going to work out for the greater good at the very end. Now, whether that end is next year, in a couple of years after they play the LIV Tour out. But in Rory's case, Rory has done a lot to get his mind right. If you told me he's going to win the British Open, it wouldn't surprise me. But I do think over the past couple of years, Rory's been really, really pressing on Sunday and not allowing the tournament to come to him. He's trying to, you know, like the old adage, fit a circle into a square, kind of trying to force the issue at times. And, you know, and I think his mindset on that final day is the thing that he has to work on most, and treat, you know, Sunday as if it was Friday or Saturday, and go on out and just play your game. And it will happen, and I agree with you. He's using when, not if. He knows in his heart of heart that he's good enough. He knows he hasn't lost it. He knows it's just a matter of time, and he will. He will win. And next to Ricky, I think everyone was rooting for Rory, so he kind of had the R&R railroad going there. And then, obviously, Wyndham Clark, you know, finished the story for us.
I mean, how crazy is that? Like, you and you're spot on there. Like, everyone was rooting for either Ricky or Rory, and yet it's Wyndham Clark who, I mean, it felt like nobody on the entire course was rooting for, but he's the one that comes away with the championship there and ends up winning the tournament. I just look at the way that he kind of conducted himself down the stretch there, talking about Wyndham Clark, was so impressive to me, especially with not the crowd rooting against him per se, but the crowd rooting for other people. And when he finally had that moment on that 18th green to call himself a major champion, I'm sure that did wonders, absolute wonders to his confidence. All right, 312-332-3776. You want to talk U.S. Open with us? When do you think Rory finally breaks through again? And when do we think Ricky may break through and ultimately win a major? Again, lots of interesting guys that you want to try and see when their next major is going to be. And I think we're in a really interesting time with golf right now. But if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. And by the way, on that 18th green, was Rory McIlroy in the wrong for something that he said and thought after the fact. We'll tell you what that was coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
In the city of Chicago, Mike's out at Glenview Park Golf Club, as I'm sure a lot of people are on their way out to go play today. You want to check in with us, 312-332-3776. A segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. And we've been talking a lot of U.S. Open this morning. Wyndham Clark, your champion at 10 under. And he holds off a pretty impressive group. Rory obviously was there neck and neck with him. Scotty Scheffler made a little bit of a charge. Cam Smith had a fantastic Sunday. Tommy Fleetwood as well, also stellar on Sunday. And hey, Wyndham Clark was in that final group with Ricky Fowler, who just sort of fell apart at the end there. You want to join us, 312-332-3776, talk U.S. Open. There was an interesting thing that made waves all across the internet as well, Mike. This was Rory McIlroy after his round talking about what's going through his mind as Wyndham Clark is going up that 18th fairway and getting set to putt and try to win his first major.
You don't want to wish bad on anyone, but you're really hoping for a three putt. You know, you're hoping to somehow get into a playoff to keep giving yourself a chance. And you're rooting for one guy, and that guy's yourself at that point. And you're just hoping for the other guy to slip up or make a mistake or give you a glimmer of hope. And Wyndham was pretty much rock solid all day, and that was a great two putt at the last.
So there you hear it from Rory McIlroy. One of I think some people are cringing in their cars right now or wherever they're listening, because one of the cardinal rules you're taught of golf is to never root against somebody. And Rory admits he's rooting for a three putt from Wyndham Clark as he's coming down the stretch there.
You know, or you just don't say it. You might be thinking it, but you don't say it. In a U.S. Open, the final hole, I mean, it's natural. It's human nature to want to think that way. But to openly root and show it, that's forbidden. But I think it asked the question. I would have handled it, I think, a little bit differently if I was in Rory's shoes. I think I would have just simply put my head down and just say, well, it's out of my control. Say a serenity prayer and, go from there. And when I'm faced with that kind of a situation, I just look away. And it will be what it'll be. And I think Rory got, I think, a little caught up in the emotion of the moment. And I don't know that I would have admitted that I was openly rooting for him to three-putt because, as you said, that is a, from an etiquette perspective, it's just not the way the game of golf was designed to be played. It's always been a gentleman's game, and it should be a gentleman's game all the way through the 72nd hole of the United States Open.
So, fair or foul, what Rory McIlroy did, admitting he's rooting for a three-putt from Wyndham Clark. We want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. And, you hear about it all the time in baseball, right? These unwritten rules this, unwritten rules that. Golf, you hear it from time to time as well. And, again, nothing technically against the rules of what Rory did and admitting he was rooting for a three-putt, but listen, I was pretty damn shocked that he flat out came out and said it. Like, I don't think you hear that from a lot of golfers. And listen, I get where he's coming from, right? Like, he's a competitor. He wants to win. And you just didn't expect him to go out and say something like that. But I think if we're all kind of injecting ourselves with a little bit of truth serum, we've all probably been in a match before where, all right, we're rooting that this guy pushes a putt here because it's going to benefit us somehow because, oh, maybe we duffed one out in the fairway or something like that, or you took your drive into the trees and it was a little bit more tricky to get out of there. Like, I feel like we've all been in Rory's shoes. I just don't think we've all necessarily come out and said exactly what Rory said there, admitting he wanted a three putt. But what do you think? 312-332-3776. Fair or foul from Rory McIlroy coming out and saying that he was rooting for a three putt out of Wyndham Clark there down the stretch?
Well, you know, for me, I think it's fair for him to think it. And as long as he didn't demonstrate body language or non-verbal communication skills that he was openly rooting against him. Because I know when I play with some friends and, you know, we have a couple of dollars on the line and that kind of thing, you know, we'll let somebody know that we're really not rooting for you, or we'll tell you that that next putt is good, to try to get in your head in a fun way. But from a place of a dark place, rooting for you to just openly miss it is foul, I guess I would say.
You know, it's funny too, because you think about it and like everyone sort of knows, right? Like, I know I'm out there in a match against someone or playing for a little bit of money, like I know they're not rooting for me, right? Like there are stakes on the line here. I'm not so naive as to say, like, I know that they don't want me to make this putt here because it would help them out. It benefits them. But for me, like, I was just shocked he came out and said it the way that he did. Listen, everyone's thinking it. We know that Rory McIlroy isn't rooting for Wyndham Clark. But yeah, just the fact that he came out and said it the way that he did, I was a little shocked by it. And I'm with you. I think a little foul that he said it, but fair to think it. And it's one of those things where as long as it kind of stays internal, I think it's all right. But to come out and say what he said, I think was a little foul and unexpected, and certainly not something that you'd expect to hear out of the mouth of someone like Rory McIlroy.
Well, and when you pay attention at the first tee, for example, at a PGA Tour event or a U.S. Open, a major championship, and the guys have all figured out who's hitting first and all that, just before they go, they don't wish each other good luck. They say play well, and there's a difference, because I want you to play well. I want you to play your best, but I want to beat you. So I don't want this to be lucky. Because, you know, there is the old adage, I'd rather be lucky than good. Mm-hmm. But from a competitor perspective, first tee and any tournament that I've ever played in, I always wish the people in my group to play well. Because I really do want them to play well. I just want to play one shot better.
Right. 312-332-3776. Was Rory McIlroy in the wrong for admitting he was rooting for a three putt from Wyndham Clark on the 18th that would have forced a playoff with Rory and Wyndham? And then at that point, it's anyone's game. You know, you get the young guy, Wyndham Clark, in a playoff, guy who doesn't have a lot of major experience there, going up against someone like Rory McIlroy, who does have a lot of skins on the wall there. And all of a sudden, that right there doesn't really feel like much of a fair fight when you do get into those pressure-packed moments. But hey, Wyndham Clark held his own. He two putts on 18. But fair or foul for Rory McIlroy to root for a three putt? We'll take all your calls when we come back. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, this is the CDGA Golf Show, and the segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
The second segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Mike Gilligan is out at Glenview Park Golf Club. I, Tyler Aki, am in the Old National Bank Studios here on State Street. We've been talking about Rory McIlroy and his comments about what he was rooting for down the stretch there with Wyndham Clark as he head up the 18th fairway.
You don't want to wish bad on anyone, but you're really hoping for a three-putt.
So that's Rory McIlroy talking about where his head was as he was going down the stretch there with Wyndham Clark. 312-332-3776. Is he in the wrong, fair or foul, for Rory McIlroy to be rooting for a three-putt there? Brian's in Elmhurst. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
All right. Love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think it's absolutely 100% fair of Rory to say that. And how could you not appreciate his honesty in that moment? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Listen, Brian, like,
100%. I agree with Brian.
Yeah, one of the things...
It is fair.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with Rory and with athletes in general is we always kind of want more honesty out of our athletes, and to get that sort of honest moment from Rory in that moment right there, I think really almost made him a little... I'm sure some of the old like curmudgeon golf fans aren't going to like Rory for this, but I think some of the newer age golf fans that are a little more open-minded to shattering and knocking down the unwritten rules of the sport, I think are really going to endear themselves to Rory.
No, Tyler, I agree. And Brian, I think, you know, said he thinks it's 100% fair. And it is. It's just, I wouldn't tell anybody about it, is I think the difference here. Mm-hmm. But to your point earlier before we went to break, these guys are competitors. He's a winner, and he wants to win. And, you know, if we're criticizing him for being 100% transparent with us, well, then so be it. But I do agree with you. I think the younger generations look at what Rory did with, that's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. But I think the people who have grown up in the game that are, you know, well-versed in the etiquette and the whatnot, I think it rubs them a little bit the wrong way, and understandably so. So,
yeah, I look at it, too, as, like, with Rory McIlroy, like, he's someone who just exudes class, and just you wouldn't expect it. Again, I don't think you and I are against what he said. We're just shocked he said it. Like, you don't see that sort of transparency from someone like of the stature of Rory talking about openly rooting against a guy down the stretch there. So he would have a chance to walk away with a major that's kind of been slipping out of his grasp pretty frequently over the last 2 years.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Tyler. When when Wyndham had the putt, what was going through your mind? Were you thinking he was going to three-putt? Were you rooting for him to see a three-putt so he'd see more golf?
The way that day was going and just the drama of it all, I was rooting for a three-putt. Like, I wanted to see more golf, and the fact that you had that sort of prime time window for it all, too, I think was awesome. And I just thought the golf was so good that day. Like you're essentially rooting for OT, right? In any other sport, or you're rooting for extra innings, like that's what it was. And just to, if we were to see a playoff, I think that would have just really put the cherry on top for what was a fantastic watch on Sunday. And the ratings certainly reflected that. I think the primetime aspect of it all helped as well. So, yeah, I'll be honest. Like, I was rooting for it because I would have loved to see more golf. Not that I was necessarily rooting against Wyndham Clark. I would have loved to still see Wyndham go into the playoff and win it. In fact, I probably would have been rooting for him in that playoff. But I also know that if Wyndham Clark does get to that playoff there, the chances of him winning probably weren't very high going up against someone like Rory McIlroy.
100%. And, you know, Rory was just being himself, talking to the media, and, you know, he just was, I think, just a little bit too honest. Just a little too honest. But to your point, when I was watching him on that last putt, I actually was afraid for Wyndham because I was fearing this guy's probably going to, you know, leave it 10 feet short, knock it way past. And I was thoroughly impressed as to how well he lag putted and put the exact amount of weight on that putt at the most crucial time from a distance that is not easy to lag putt from. So, but as I feared for him, my next emotion was, well, we're going to get more golf. So that was sort of my rationalization because I hate to root against him, but I did want to see more golf because to your point, we were set up with the prime time and, you know, it was Father's Day and everybody was hanging out together in our house. And it would have been nice to have more golf. But at the same time, I was so happy for Wyndham when it was all said and done.
Right. Ultimately, I think the fans got sort of what they wanted to see there. And you're right. Like the way that Wyndham was working with the putter that day as well. Like, it was very tough to think that maybe you could see someone else win just because of how good he was putting on that Sunday. But you want to talk with us, 312-332-3776. We'll get to all of your calls and more. Plus, we will talk with Vince Pellegrino from the Western Golf Association coming up next. Talk all things BMW Championship and NV5. All that's coming up next. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.